This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nothing gets me going like the pimp with a limp, DJ Laz.
It gets me going too, man.
Donald, you grew up in South Florida, right?
Absolutely, yeah. My entire life.
This brings you back to the old skating rink days.
DJ Laz is a staple.
Skating rink days. You'd be skating a Galaxy Skate, and this comes on.
Yeah, the big one that I remember in my skating rink days, the Macarena was a game changer.
Ooh.
When that came out, I think I was in fifth grade. Hey, Macarena. And dude, when the Macarena would come, or when you're skating it, it was at Hot Wheels and Kendall was where I used to go. And in 1995, when the Macarena would come on, that place, all the elementary, middle schoolers, that thing was lit. Everyone knew, you know, the choreography or skating around the rink. You have the, the strobe lights go. It was truly a magical time.
It's really crazy. Some songs are just timeless, like that DJ Laz you just heard and the Macarena. You know I'm out every night. Tonight I got Funky Buddha. My guy Mike's going to be serving up the maple bacon coffee porter. Can't wait for that. Tuesday nights I'm at Riverside and Plantation. Wednesday nights, 26 Degree Brewing. And then Thursdays and Fridays I'm at Duffy's and Plantation, which is wild. And a lot of times on Fridays, all I do is just play music and take requests. And you play that DJ Laz and people go crazy. And you would be surprised the age group that comes and requests the Macarena. You would think people that in their heyday, they heard it at the skating Hot Wheels and everything. No, I get like 15-year-olds come up like, you got to play the Macarena. And I'm like, are you messing with me? And they're like, no. And they know the dance and they love it. Just some songs never get old. They're just, they age like a fine wine.
Remember Mambo Number 5 was another one. That one had a minute in the spotlight.
Still hits.
Bega, one hit wonder.
Still hits. Who let the dogs out? Still hits.
Oh, it's crazy. Yes. That was a great skating rink song, too.
Doesn't matter. Still hits. Speaking of that, Dono, you know, I always defer to you when it comes to the Hurricanes because you know all things Hurricanes. Also, when it comes to all things Italian or Italy, I defer to you.
Yeah.
And I know
it's
a President's Day, and we've been talking about Cam Ward, and we've been talking about the Hurricanes, Carson Beck, and the Dolphins, and the All-Star Game, and the Heat, and we're going to get into all that, but I got to defer to you for a couple of Italian things real quick. Of course, your dad is from Italy, correct?
He is, yeah. He grew up there. He came over here when he was like 25 or so, basically to stalk my mom, because they had fallen in love when she was on a study abroad in Italy. He followed her across the ocean.
And so you've been, I'm sure, to Italy multitudes of times, not even a handful, multitudes.
Yeah, a multitude of times, yeah.
So whenever it comes to something Italian, I always try to run it by you. And I told you last year, as my birthday neared, there's this one Italian restaurant in the Design District, real close, actually, half a block away from Jimmy Butler's Big Face Coffee. It's called Mother Wolf. And I hyped it up. I hyped it up. I hyped it up. I hyped it up. So much to the day before I got scared. Like, if this isn't hype, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. And you said, look, before you do anything, let me take a look at the menu. And you said, okay, well, they specialize in Roman Italian food. I was like, so you're like, you want to get the linguine, and then I don't know how to pronounce it, limone or limine?
A limone.
Limone. And you want to get a carbonara, and you want to kind of steer towards
cacio pepe.
Yeah, cacio pepe. So I was like, okay, I got a game plan now. So I go in there, and I hyped it up and hyped it up and hyped it up, and it overlived the hype. It was so great. I had to go back 3 weeks later. The only reason it took me 3 weeks because it's hard to get a reservation. And
right.
You were exactly right. The pepe, the limone, and the carbonara were out of this world. So I was going bragging around to a bunch of people, and another person said, oh, there's a place in South Beach. It's owned by an Italian family that's migrated from Italy. It's going to be great. I didn't run things by you. And I went, and it was very marginal. I'm not going to lie. Very marginal. And they were from Italy. They were doing things. And, hey, look, that stuff happens. So I run it by you. And now this is the thing, too. So what I try to do once a week, because like I said, I'm out every night, Monday through Friday. I love it. Drinking beer, playing music, having a great time. So one night a weekend, I try to cook. One night a weekend, I try to go out to eat. And then I can cook Italian. No, I mean, yeah, I can make pasta. I can make spaghetti. But if I were looking to cook a somewhat, not complicated, but not overly simple Italian meal, where would be a good place for me to start? Because I'm not going to say I'm novice at cooking, Dono, but I am not a chef by any means.
I think carbonara is actually fun to make. And it's because it's not... It's a really good tasting sauce by the time it's done, but it's not really rocket science. I mean, you have raw eggs that you mix with like a lot of Parmesan cheese or Pecorino Romano cheese. So sometimes you do either or. I like to mix the two of them together, and you have you get like some pancetta, which is basically like Italian bacon, and you simmer that a little bit, and you mix that in with the sauce, and you throw it on the pasta. At the end, so you can find some good recipes. Make sure, you know, I can maybe send you a link or something afterwards. I think that's a fun one to make. That's a little bit more exciting than like a simple tomato sauce or something.
Right.
I like making a carbonara. Same thing with cacio pepe, can be a fun one to make. You know, there are certain things that are more complicated. Like if you want to make like a bolognese sauce, it's more complicated because you got to like simmer the meats and mix it all together. But yeah, I think like a carbonara or a cacio pepe can be fun to make that are not too difficult. As long as you get like really good ingredients, mm-hmm. like try to get like the imported cheeses. If you get the good enough ingredients, it's going to taste good. It's hard to ruin. Okay,
yeah, good. Because I mean, I need somewhat complicated, but not super complicated, because the minimum that I spend in the kitchen, it takes me 2.5 hours to do anything. So if it's complicated, I might have to block off the whole weekend. But I try to post the videos on Instagram. So maybe this weekend I'll try to make a carbonara.
Yeah,
I'll tag you on it.
Yeah.
And you can be the judge, and we'll see how that goes. But
yeah, the first, like sometimes the second try may come out better, because I remember the first time I tried to make the carbonara, it was either like I either made it like too thick or something, and then maybe the second time was too liquidy, the third time was just right. So you know, you'll experiment a little bit. It won't come out perfect the first time, because you got to kind of find your mojo with how thick to make the sauce, but you'll get there.
305-567-0560, the number to call or text in. We got a couple of texts coming in real quick. 954 says, made my day mentioning Galaxy. The fight with the DJ between 80s and 90s dance music playing versus DJ Laz and Uncle Al booty music. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I remember when we were at the skating rinks, man, everyone wanted to request a song. So there was always a line at the DJ booth. And the DJ was probably like some like 17-year-old is getting requests from 12-year-olds, is like trying to play everybody's favorite song. Yeah, that was a disaster.
We got another text, and I do want to get to this. 609, any talk about Bullygate? Yeah, we touched on it earlier, but it is worth mentioning again. So
sure.
There's been some new developments from... what, 12 years ago from Bullygate. Jonathan Martin recently did an interview where he said he did not feel bullied at all by the Miami Dolphins. And Richie Incognito's name has been dragged through the mud. And Richie Incognito basically put the guy wasn't good enough to be in the NFL. He didn't want to lose his signing bonus. So he and his mom conducted a narrative that said he got bullied. Richie Incognito has posted a bunch of pictures of Jonathan Martin and some of the offensive linemen hanging out right when the incident, quote unquote, took place. And it's looking like this is an instance where maybe, and I don't know all the details, but maybe this was a little crying wolf, and Richie Incognito is not as should not be as vilified. And Dono, you've read the 144-page report the NFL looked at, and you say there's even it's kind of shoddy.
Well, especially like so, Ted Wells, you know, he was given basically, I think, 2 weeks to kind of have free range in the Dolphins organization and like interview whoever he wanted to interview. He basically had subpoena power to interview anybody from the staff to, you know, players. I'm not sure if every player participated in the interviews, but a lot of them did. So he comes up with this 144-page report that basically condemned Richie Incognito and, oh, this was bullet. But you could tell Wells in the NFL, they had their conclusion before they interviewed any. Like, their conclusion was, okay, we have – Ted, show everyone why there was bullying going on. They were Richie Incognito. They wanted to railroad this guy from the beginning. It was very obvious, right? Because, you know, obviously an actual real bullying is a terrible thing. Absolutely. And especially at that time, like I remember anti-bullying campaigns were like a big thing at the time. I think the NFL wanted to make an example out of the Dolphins and Incognito. So like they had their conclusion. And I read that Ted Wells report. I know that most people, and listen, I would not have read it if not for the fact that I was doing daily radio on WQAM. I felt like I had to read it for my job. So I read this 144-page report, and I thought a lot of this stuff was, okay, very clearly taken out of context. NFL locker rooms are, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, a lot of ribbing going on. You know, you hear the phrase locker room talk and all that. Like it, because I had been in the locker room. I covered the team on a daily basis at the time, Dan. And Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin, they seemed like they were friends. Like I know, you know, I wasn't hanging out with these guys all day, but from what I saw in the locker, it seemed like that entire offensive line was very close. And Jonathan Martin was like a little brother to Richie Incognito. So I was very shocked when the allegations came out. And to me, like, and Martin is the one that now, more than a decade later, comes out and admits, I never felt like I was getting bullied. He comes out and admits that now. This, to me, first of all, if I'm Richie Incognito, I am strongly considering suing Ted Wells, suing the NFL, because this goes to show you, and Ted Wells is a lawyer, okay? So, and lawyers do this all the time. If you have your conclusion written up before you find any of the facts, you write out your conclusion first, and then you can find enough to get you there.
Well, that's why you try cases.
That's how this works.
That's how you try cases.
Yeah.
You have a,
exactly.
You want to get to a certain spot, and that's what you do. Now, let's not let Richie Incognito skate. He's a little kooky. He's a little crazy.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah. I'm not saying that. And he's done some things and said some things, and there's been some instances that don't paint him in the best light. But it's looking like kooky and crazy and a little a little out there and a little rough around the edges doesn't make you a bully and doesn't give you the right to accuse someone maybe falsely that he is a bully. And, you know, if they're saying, you know, I never really felt bullied, if Jonathan Martin's saying, I never really felt bullied. Now, where were you years ago when your mother was making these claims, when the articles were coming out? And let's be honest, Richie Incognito's name was dragged through the mud. Why didn't you come out and say, well, hold up, wait a second, let's scale back a little bit. He never did anything to step up and even try to, you know, temper the situation, which to me, ooh, and like I said, I never thought I would be saying, you know, poor Richie Incognito. But in this case, it's looking like Richie Incognito kind of was done wrong.
I think there's two primary reasons why it took Jonathan Martin more than a decade to tell the truth. And I'm not going to paint Jonathan Martin like he's some hero now for coming clean. Like some people, look at this. This is amazing. Look at me. You allowed Richie Incognito's life to get ruined for 12 years, and now you're coming out to set the record straight. So I think Jonathan Martin also years ago got in trouble, like, and he's, you know, he suffered with depression and stuff, and I don't downplay that. Like that's, you know, that's serious stuff. I know Incognito has his own issues, Martin has his own issues, but I'm not going to paint this guy like some kind of a hero for coming clean 12 years later. But I think there were two major reasons why he went with that lie for so long. number one, there is a character gain for him because, you know, if he decide, and listen, I couldn't cut it in the NFL. I will admit that. Like, I don't think I'm tough enough to survive an NFL locker room and the grind that comes with that. So, but neither could Jonathan Martin. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Jonathan Martin decided football was not for him. He wasn't good enough. He wasn't tough enough. He didn't want to play football anymore. And so guess what? If not for the whole bullying thing, Jonathan Martin would have been painted as a guy who quits on his team, a guy who's too soft to play football. So the lie was a lot more convenient, that the lie that he was, you know, forced out of the game by some awful person in his offensive line that bullied him. Like, that lie was convenient to Jonathan Martin. It made him look better and feel better. You know, and of course, this lie was orchestrated when he was in his, you know, early 20s. The guy's in his late 30s now. I guess he, you know, feels ashamed at carrying that lie for so long. And then the other part of it is, listen, I'm a little hesitant to take Richie's word on this, but it does make sense, okay, that the other part of it was with this lie being, you know, created, that allowed Martin to keep his signing bonus, right? Because under normal circumstances, if you quit on your professional sports team, they're going to collect that that signing bonus back from you because, you know, you owe that back to them. But since this was a special case of, oh, this damage, this terrible damage by bullying, it wasn't his fault. He was forced out of the game. The Dolphins didn't come after Martin's signing bonus. He got to keep that money. And that was something that Incognito accused Jonathan Martin's mother. And his mother, by the way, I remember her being a big part of this. She's like a Stanford professor, like, you know, brilliant person, you know, probably why she was so good at helping orchestrate this lie, you know, that Incognito accused the mom of playing a big role in helping, you know, Martin keep his signing bonus. So I think there was financial motivations, but I think the motivation of, you know, saving face and not looking like a quitter was probably even bigger.
Yeah, and sometimes you get caught up so deep in the lie, you're in too deep to come out now, and you don't know how to get out of it. And I don't know what it does to the psyche of someone. I mean, Richie Incognito, if I were accused of something very serious and made the poster child for bullying, you're a bully, how that would affect me. You get cut, or you get released from the team. It just, and then I'm not a lawyer up. Well, maybe I am a lawyer up guy, but
maybe so.
It, in this case, it seems like if I were him, I'm coming for you. Like, I mean, if anything, just for emotional anguish, like, you got to think.
And you remember the climate at that time, Dan. This is like, what is it, 2013, 2014? Like, that was like the anti-bullying era. It's
right.
Like, you'd have all these PSAs and commercials that were always on. And so then, like, the NFL found an opportunity that, oh my, what can we do for our image if we make it look like we're punishing the big bad bully and we're condemning the Miami Dolphins? Like, it was a great PR move for the NFL to go after the Dolphins and go after Incognito. And then the Dolphins head coach at the time was Joe Philbin, who was, I mean, you talk about weak personality, right? If there was anybody who was not going to stand up for his players, it was Joe Philbin. Like, he allowed, you know, he fired an offensive line coach over it. He allowed Incognito to be made the scapegoat because, you know, unfortunately, like, if you had had like a Dan Campbell coaching your team at the time, who was an interim Dolphins coach after Philbin, ironically enough, but if that had been your head coach at the time, probably would have fought for his players. Philbin, no.
Really crazy situation. It's ever evolving here in South Florida. Up next, though, I want to talk a little bit of Heat with you, Dono, kind of see what maybe the future holds. There's some positives. There's also a track record that we're going to have to kind of look back on and see if anything's going to be changed. But we're going to.
By the way, let me read this text real quick that came in. It says, in regards to Jonathan Martin, you may want to slow your roll about calling this man a liar, because consider the possibility, the fact that he wasn't tough enough to play football and he was being bullied. I'm just saying they both could be true. But hold on. But he just said, like, he told ESPN he never felt like he was bullied. And he lied. Like, so either he was lying then or he's lying now. So I can call him a liar because he either lied 12 years ago or he lied yesterday.
Yeah. He said there was no bullying. And then he said there at one point there was bullying. So which one is which? Maybe the definition of bullying has changed over the years. I'm not sure. It's still a tough situation for everyone. And of course, the Dolphins get stuck right in the middle of it. So great for us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Friday, the Heat. They resume their season, the mythical second half of the season, because they've already played more than 50% of their games for this season. You look at the positives. You've got the Jimmy Butler situation behind you. You can now start focusing more on the games. Bam seems to be playing better, whether that has something to do with the whole Jimmy situation, him being captain or not. Tyler Hero is having a career year. Hopefully Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, Davion Mitchell can start kind of getting their groove and fitting in with the team. Another very positive thing is the month of March, basically, for the most part, 15 out of the 20 games are going to be home games for this Miami Heat team. So they have played a plethora of away games so far this season. So down the stretch, you're going to get a lot more home games than you will away games. The only thing I worry is, Dono, I bring you all the positives because there's one just glaring negative that kind of stares me right in the face when I talk about this Heat team. For 2.5 years, they've basically been in the same place. Why should I believe down the stretch, 2.5 years of, what would you call it, tape or evidence, it's going to change down the stretch? Is it because of the reasons I told you?
I don't think it's going to change down the stretch this year. I think you're looking at a situation where the absolute best case scenario would be avoiding the play in. Mm-hmm. You know, and it'd be hard. Like they're so far ahead of like 11th place that it's unlikely they would be anything less than a play in tournament team. But I think that's probably your ceiling would be, you know, getting to the first round and, you know, probably losing in the first round of the playoffs, maybe sneaking in one series. But because I think Miami Heat basketball, I think they're in a transitional phase right now. I think that the Jimmy Butler build had already passed the expiration date. Obviously, in Jimmy's mind, it had, because he lost his joy. He didn't want to be here. But even if Jimmy were happy to still be in Miami, I think that build, I think it already kind of passed the due date, the consume by date. Now we've kind of sped up that transition because they traded Jimmy. But it's like, this current form, this is not going to be a championship caliber team, you know, with Tyler Hero as your number one scoring option. That's just not that's not the answer. I think Hero can be a great second or third option, you know. So now and you know, Bam Adebayo, his offense has regressed, unfortunately. You know, can still be a great defensive player and an impactful two-way player, but he's not a number one scoring option, nor is Andrew Wiggins. I mean, very good defensive player, two-way guy, but you just don't have enough firepower, and you don't have enough consistent veteran all-star caliber leadership. So I think we're back in a situation, Dan, where obviously Miami had their superstar for a while with Jimmy, and there were some really good years, a couple of NBA finals runs before, you know, the injuries and his unhappiness kind of caught up with him here. But I think now we're in a spot where you're looking for that next superstar to join this group, right? Whether it's, you know, another trade you pull off this offseason or in free agency. Cause yeah, I don't think this team is currently constructed as anything better than like a 6 or a 7 seed in the Eastern. I just think that's where we are. And, you know, they're gritty. They've got the Heat culture. You know, maybe they can make this final third of the season memorable and meaningful down the stretch. But I don't think this team is really going anywhere as currently constructed.
Well, you do have a lot of home games, like I said, down the stretch. You are 3 games out of 6th place. That's where the Pistons are. The good news is you are 4 games ahead of 10th place. You're currently in 9th against the Chicago Bulls, and at least you're not the Philadelphia 76ers, who are about 6 games behind you, who they have been an absolute disappointment this year. Philadelphia 76ers in the Eastern Conference. And in the Western Conference, you have to say the biggest disappointment would be the Phoenix Suns, 26 and 28 at the All-Star break. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. The Warriors don't,
and that's the team Jimmy wanted to go to.
Yeah.
Phoenix was the team I think he's a lot better off with the Warriors.
Well, the Warriors are sitting right above the Suns in 10th place, 28 and 27. Yeah. So don't let it fool you. Like, oh no, Jimmy's making you know gangbusters with the Warriors. The Warriors are fighting to stay alive in the play-in. So, oh my goodness. And you know, the Spurs are outside looking in, but once again, now they have De'Aaron Fox, they have Wimby, you know, Pop's out, of course. But yeah, Jimmy with the Warriors, it does seem like a good fit. It seems like you put anybody with Steph Curry, it's going to be a good fit. But Steph Curry can extend the defense, he can shoot his threes, he can make his wild plays, while Jimmy can kind of work the mid-range and the inside. So maybe it's a match made in heaven for the Warriors. It was one of those things that had to be done. Like I said, are people not crazy about the trade? I'm like, well, you're getting more production out of those three guys because anything's better than 0000000 that you were getting from Jimmy Butler.
You know, I think it was a good trade, and a lot of that is because it had to happen.
It was a necessary trade.
You had to get Jimmy off your team. It was necessary. But I also think the Heat did an okay job getting some value in return. Like they didn't make the panic trade where it's like, all right, we're just gonna do whatever we have to do to get this guy off our roster. And I know that some people were critical of Riley for like taking that long to trade Jimmy, but the reason why it took that long and why it came down to the wire was, you better believe that the other teams that were making trade offers for Jimmy, and Jimmy also made it difficult because for a long time he was insisting it had to be Phoenix. Like he softened his stance a little bit on deadline day, but he also made it difficult. But then at the same time, other teams smelled blood in the water and they said, okay, the Heat can't continue with Jimmy because he's so much of a distraction. They have to keep suspending him. So we're going to make low ball offers and we're going to try to take advantage. And so, you know, Riley, I'm sure, had to hang up a lot of phone calls until deadline day because he wasn't getting real offers. So I give the Heat organization some credit for at least getting something in return and getting some production for Jimmy.
Right. That's what I say. A lot of sour deals turn very sweet when the deadline is upon you. You know, teams, we don't want him. Like the Warriors, there was talk of them saying they don't want him because he's not going to be good in the locker room. Steph Curry and Steve Kerr had talked about it. They don't need him. Then the deadline gets a little closer and they say, well, you know, we got to make some moves. And then, you know, Draymond Green comes out and says, you know, the locker room just doesn't seem to be right. We need some type of new addition. Next thing you know, Jimmy Butler is in Golden State, and we'll see how that plays out. I don't know. I want to say I wish him the best because personally I have nothing against Jimmy. Could he have handled things maybe a little bit better? Yeah, but at the same time, you know, that's his business. I don't know all the details behind the scenes. I do know some of the things that Jimmy did behind the scenes, and oh man, there are some doozies, Dono. But he was allowed
real
to do
doozies,
them.
Man.
I mean, if you allow me to do certain things, and it's not a problem, and you tell me, oh no, you can do that, then what's wrong with that? So it's a marriage that came to an end. Jimmy Butler has an expiration date. The Warriors signed him to the 2-year contract. I think that's a wise thing. He's also getting very much older, but he's so far been good with them, and it seems like Andrew Wiggins and Kyle Anderson, Mr. Anderson, and Davion Mitchell, we're still trying to figure it out. We're going to figure it out.
I like Davion Mitchell. I think there's some potential. I mean, obviously, we all know Andrew Wiggins. I don't know if Anderson's going to be like a full-time rotational guy here, but I think Davion Mitchell, I like him. I think there's potential there for sure.
Don't forget about that top 10 pick. We got a top 10 pick from the State Warriors, so that's also exciting. It was a necessary move. It was a good move for the Heat, and we'll see how the rest of the season plays out. I do like that we have a lot of home games going down the stretch, so that bodes well, and Bam Adebayo is starting to play better, so hopefully we can get some Heat action going. There will be in Toronto this coming Friday, 7:30, right here on 560 WQAM. When we come back, I have some day spa for you, Dono. Inter Miami, official/unofficial start to their season this week. It all gets going tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, in Kansas City, Sporting KC for CONCACAF Champions Cup. They're expecting 0 degrees in snow. Which has Messi going, what?
Yeah.
I've won everything.
Poor Messi.
I've won everything. What are we doing here?
Well, the only thing he hasn't won is an MLS Cup. And I know that's a different competition. That game is going to be for the CONCACAF Champions League. So it's not, you play multiple different competitions in soccer. But I will say, you know, UEFA Champions League is more valuable than CONCACAF.
He's won
Messi
that.
He has won that. But, you know, I feel like they've got to win. And I say they because I'm not going to put it all on Messi. I also put it on the organization. They've got to win the MLS Cup this year. Yeah. It's probably Messi's final season in Miami coming up. That's the expectation. You know, they were disappointing last year, getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs. Like, you know, we talk a lot about whatever the expectations are for the Heat. Can the Panthers repeat this year? Can the Dolphins win the first playoff game in 25 years? But, I mean, Inter Miami has expectations as well. Like, they made biggest move in NFL history to bring arguably the greatest of all time to your franchise, who's going to be entering his, you know, third year here, you got to win the MLS Cup.
Yeah, there's a lot of chances, though, to win some trophies this year for Inter Miami. They've got the CONCACAF Champions Cup coming up. That is basically for the best club in North America, Central America, that area. They're going to have Leagues Cup, which some people don't like it, but it's basically MLS versus Liga MX in Mexico. They're going to be in the Club World Cup, which we're not going to give them a lot of chance to win that. Let's be honest. Yeah, you know, we love our guys.
Well, I'm curious to see how seriously a lot of the big clubs take the Club World Cup, because it's the top, like it's usually your off season, obviously when the actual World Cup takes place over the summer and players take that very seriously, we'll see how seriously they take the Club World Cup. But and I'm so annoyed, Dan, because I'm going to be in Europe this summer when most of the great European clubs are over here in North America playing games with the club. So I'm like, man, I can't have my cake and eat it too. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe if MLS teams take the Club World Cup super seriously and the European teams don't,
they can sneak up a little bit, maybe. Let's hope. And then the MLS season kicks off this coming Saturday, 2:30 at Chase Stadium. I think it's just hilarious that Inter Miami tomorrow night at 8:00, if the game doesn't get postponed due to weather, they will go from 0 degrees, and then on Saturday, they will go to 80 degrees.
Oh, my gosh. Man, I guess going that way is okay. If it went the other way, like my Italian grandmother, may she rest in peace, my nonna would have said, like, you can't go from like 80 degrees to zero because you'll die of, you know, influenza or whatever. That's a huge temperature change to go from 0 to 80.
So they don't know if Messi's going to play tomorrow night. It's the weather. Is it worth the risk? Yeah. Of course, they're going to be playing Sporting KC, which is going to be, you know, an aggregate. So that means that they get to play one in Kansas City. They get to play one here in Inter Miami. Maybe, you know, you just go there with the weather, try to get a draw, a 0-0 draw, or maybe you lose, you're down a goal, you get back home, you try to put it on them with all your horsepower. We'll see, but I know the challenges that come with playing in 0 degree snowy weather. I mean, it's just harder on the body.
You just ask the Dolphins. They had to go to Kansas City in 0 degrees a couple of years ago.
You might think twice about that header that you're going for if you're in the 0 degree weather. My goodness. But it should be very interesting. Inter Miami, high expectations, and rightfully so. And we've always gotten into it. Like, some people think Messi is the greatest player of all time. There's arguments to be made for, there's arguments to be made against. I'm just happy he's here. I'm happy.
Same.
Messi's here. And on paper.
You can argue greatest of all time. Like, some people would say, you know, Pele, who obviously played in a different era, or I'm a big fan of Diego Maradona. Yeah. I thought he was tremendous. And the guy had so many demons.
That's like, what I like
about
him.
If he could have conducted himself like a professional, because Messi, you know, his strict diet, doesn't party. If Maradona had been as disciplined as Messi, he would be the undisputed GOAT, I believe, because the guy was always out there doing drugs and drink. Like, it's amazing he played as well as he did for all the demons he had. But one thing, because Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo is his contemporary, right? They played at the same time. And I believe Messi, I would take Messi over Cristiano. Mm-hmm. Some people would argue that. I think Messi, to me, is the greatest, certainly of this era, and maybe say all time as well.
Okay. Yeah. And there's, of course, like you say, there's arguments to be made for all of it. But I don't think you can really argue this Inter Miami team on paper is probably the strongest team they've ever fielded. So it should be exciting. It should be fun. Of course, they do have the new coach, Mascherano. And he has some experience, but not a ton of experience. Tata Martino, that exploded last year. Apparently, Jordi Alba, and he did not see eye to eye one day, and that was it. So Tata said, I'm going back to see my family. It's always fun. I love soccer. I love MLS. I love Inter Miami. They're my favorite team. So I'm in for the ride. Let's see what happens. I will. And if you're the really hardcore fans, and we got some, I promise you, we got our guys in the supporters group, like Vice City 1896, the Southern Siege, that are probably making the trip tomorrow night. You are a true fan. Not just to make a road trip.
Sure.
A 0 degree road trip to Kansas City.
For those who make the trip, you're a better man than me, because if I look at that weather forecast, I say 0 degrees, and then I remember what happened at that playoff game the Dolphins played in KC a couple years ago. Like, people were losing fingers out there. It was so cold. Like, I'm not going to risk losing a finger. Like, I'll stay home and watch it on TV.
I never knock anybody's fandom, but for the people that say, oh, like, no matter what team, Dolphins fan, let's say you're a Dolphins fan, I go to at least one road game every year and all the home games. Well, which road games did you go to? I went to L.A., I went to, I'm trying to
Vegas.
Think of other, yeah, Vegas. You're like, well, okay. Then there's the Dolphins fan. Yeah, I went to the playoff game in Kansas City. You're like, oh.
That's a fan.
I went up to the Jets game. I went to, you know, like Green Bay game.
Buffalo.
Yeah, I went to Germany. Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying y'all
both. Anybody who goes to visit Green Bay, Wisconsin, or Buffalo by choice, that's a real fan.
Look, I'm not saying we're all real fans. There's just different levels. Like, I'm there ride or die, man. Yeah, it's easy to take the sexy trips, but sometimes, you know, crazy ones. But sometimes those are the gems, because you're in it to win it. You're in it together. It's fun. It's wild. We'll see. Should be an interesting game if they play it tomorrow night. Should be very interesting.
What's your, Dan, if you're gonna follow one of your teams to see a road game, like, what's your dream trip? Because I feel like for most of us, it'd be like, oh, I want to catch a game in Vegas or LA, but I feel like Dan Day, you're more of like a Madison, Wisconsin kind of guy.
In the United States?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Anywhere we can open it up to the world. We can go worldwide with this baby if you want.
Yeah. I'm thinking I would like to go maybe Cape Town, South Africa, or Reykjavik, Iceland for something.
I have been wanting to go to Iceland. My wife really wants to go there, weird. And I would check it out. I mean, I'm not, you know, you already know how I feel about Canada.
Yeah,
I'm very anti-Scandinavia, and this is nothing. By the way, and the same thing with my dislike for Canada has nothing to do with politics. So I don't want you to jump to any conclusions. I am apolitical. All I care about is sports. I do not care about politics. The beef that I have with Scandinavia is no seasoning on any of the food.
Ooh.
That's a big issue. That's a big issue I have. Like, I know if I'm visiting tremendous European countries like Italy, where I have heritage and family over there, you know, you visit France, Austria is one of my favorite countries. Like, you're getting excellent cuisine. You go to Scandinavia and it's like, okay, I've got a piece of a pickled herring and there's not a single pepper to be found in this entire region of the world. Like, I'm very pro seasoning. And so that's why I'm worried about going to Iceland, because I don't want to eat pickled herring. So the landscape and the scenery looks beautiful. So I'm willing to give it a shot. But overall, I am anti-Scandinavia.
Okay, you sold me on a road trip. Here is where I want to go. If the Dolphins could play a game in Delhi, India, that's where I want to go.
Really? A lot of seasoning in Delhi.
A lot of
seasoning.
Speaking of Saison and seasoning, let's take a step into the day spa. Classically trained pianist Bella Ma claims to have given up a vegan diet. Now she eats nothing but butter, meat, and golden jello.
Golden jello? Yep. Wow, I know a lot of people are into like the carnivore and like high fat diets, which seems like counterintuitive to everything we learned growing up. Like, hey, you don't want to eat too much butter, too much. Now they're like, eat all the butter and meat you want to. But
she says butter, meat, and golden jello. She claims she's lost 30 pounds. She never has brain fog, and she doesn't even fart anymore.
Well, that's great to know. Bella Ma, wasn't there a Seinfeld reference to Bella Ma?
Bella Ma? Like, is that her?
Kramer used to say that, yeah.
How would that diet go? Butter, meat, and golden jello.
See, I just feel if I tried to do that, and I'm you know, my cholesterol's been a little high in recent years as I get older, so like I'm trying to battle that. But like, so I feel like if I were to go on the butter, meat, jello diet, I feel like that would backfire terribly for me. Like, I don't know. If it works for Bella Ma, maybe it's good enough for me.
Maybe good enough for you. Plus, it clears up all the fog in more ways than one.
Yeah. I do have a lot of fog. Like, what is it? Is it too much carbs? Like, what causes the fog? Because I notice, like, I know it's not CTE because I haven't taken very many hits in my life, but I do seem to have some fog. Something. Maybe it's too much carbs.
I was going to say, in my case, I know what causes the fog, but yeah, that's just me.
Well, you know what? I may have a little bit of that issue as well.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.